Many of you, in fact, I guess most of you here this morning, probably remember the day when you received your driver's license. It's a day of exultant joy in a teenager's life that now they can drive, they're free, they're not tied down, and it's a day of terror for the adults, the mothers and fathers, when their child drives out the driveway for the first time all by themselves. A day of terror. Now the reason, the way that we get our driver's license, of course we have to have a test period where we drive with our permits, and then comes the day when we have to pass the driver's exam doing the driving on the streets. And if we pass, we become licensed and can drive. But you know, we're not licensed to break the laws. We have a license to drive within the limits of the laws of society pertaining to driving motorized vehicles. In our striving to be the true church of the 21st century and to be the best Christians that we can be, contrary to Jesus' desire for unity in the church, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that society and even the church is coming unglued at the seams because of the debate over license and legalism. License and legalism. In the Gospel of John, we see John writing about the coming of Christ. If you read from the very beginning, you find that he's talking about Jesus who came into the world, and for those who receive him, God gives the right to become children of God, born again, not of natural descent nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And this word, means speaking of Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John says, we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Some texts say the glory of the one and only begotten who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's think about that a little bit. It's talking about Jesus coming from the Father, full of grace and truth. Not half full, not just beginning to be full of grace and truth, but he came. When he came, he was full of grace and truth. He didn't need any more. Okay? Because he was filled, actually, to overflowing with grace and truth. Now, remember, John's writing in the context of a Jewish culture. Writing to the Jews about this one who came from the one and only, coming from the Father, full of grace and truth, meant something. Unfortunately, it doesn't anymore in our culture today, but it meant something to them because the prophecy was that this coming Messiah would be one like the Son of God, and he would have the qualities and the attributes of God, which to God's people were grace and truth. So John testifying to this word, Jesus, coming from the Father, full of grace and truth, would have said to them, first of all, this person is not only the prophesied Messiah, the Savior of Israel, but he is God himself. Full grace and truth. The only one that's full of grace and truth is God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John writes concerning John the Baptist. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. Now, if you remember and read about John the Baptist's testimony, John went around proclaiming that Jesus was coming and that Jesus was going to become more and John would become less. John testified to that. John was a controversial figure in their culture of their day. If you didn't know anything about John the Baptist and his preaching style, he was preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus came on the scene and John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John testified that this Jesus was the one full of grace and truth. Secondly, the writer of the gospel says, from the fullness of his grace, from the fullness of Jesus' grace, Jesus full of grace, and from the fullness of his grace, extended it to everyone. And he's saying that we've experienced it. We've received a blessing right after another because of his grace. Now, understand that this was the society and the culture that was based on legalism, the law of Moses. And John says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, all of a sudden we start to make a separation here. The law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. And this is what we're going to talk about today. The writer goes on to say, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. John testified, the writer John says, we've received one blessing after another, so we've seen it, we've experienced it. And now he's saying, thirdly, God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made God known. Notice here, God, the one and only, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. What John, the writer of the Gospel, is saying is that this Jesus that came into the world was actually God himself, and he was full of grace and truth. And here's where we're coming unglued in the church today of the 21st century. When Jesus prayed the night before he was crucified, he prayed for unity for all believers, for the church. Not just then, but for you and I today. If you read it in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, you read Jesus praying for unity. He personally told his disciples, as I have loved you, now love one another. The world will know you by your love. You'll be unified. You'll love one another. Thirdly, when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, it tells us in Acts chapter 2 that all people were united. It didn't mean they believed the same things, but they were united together as believers. So we ask, why is the church and Christianity losing ground in society today as the authentic authority on issues of morality and lifestyle? Why is the church losing ground on these issues? Most of you remember the days when the church was the authority in society on issues of morality and lifestyle. When the culture said something, the people turned to the church and said, what do you believe? What do you teach? What does the Bible say? And the church would speak, and the people then would accept the church's authority on issues of morality and lifestyle. Along the way, things happened. People became intelligent. The words in history are enlightened. And all of a sudden, the authority on issues of morality and lifestyle was up to us. It was up to us. I'm talking this morning about license and legalism, grace and truth. The argument today in society is we're living in New Testament times. The New Testament speaks of grace. Grace is what's important. We live in the age of grace. So we all need to just forgive, and whatever happens is okay. That issues of morality and lifestyle are up to you as the individual. What's good for you may not be good for me, but that's okay. Because we're different. But you see, grace without truth is license. Because what happens, people are running here and there, to and fro. The church is becoming this muddy mix of all kinds of ideas because people say, well, it's okay. We can do that. We can believe what we want because we live in an age of grace. So it's okay. It's okay. You're okay. I'm okay. No matter what we believe, it's okay. It's all good. Let's just accept each other. You see, so what they do, they use grace as a license to practice immorality and unbiblical lifestyles. On the other hand, we talk about truth.
in our day and age, many people say, this is what the Bible says, and this is how we have to live. And if you don't live by the Bible, you're sinners, and you're all going to hell. No, that's not what the Bible says.
The Bible says if we sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus, the Son. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many people will stand and teach and say, they'll teach considering the parables, the parable of the talents and some of the other parables. You know, where the servants were cast in the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And they'll tell you that if we don't do what God wants us to do in this life, God just simply says, okay, you're no good, just get out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with you. That's not biblical teaching. Because God is a God of grace. What happens, it is true that we break the law, and we break God's law, and God becomes angry when we break His law, and we deserve death because the Bible says, the truth says, the law says, the wages of sin is death. See? But as much as grace without truth is license, truth without grace is legalism. So we have this great divide, and the church is coming unglued over these issues of grace and truth, license and legalism. Some people stand on the side of grace. Well, we can do what we want. It's okay because of grace. God forgives me because of who I am and the way I am. He just forgives me. And on the other people on the other side are saying, yes, but what about truth? And truth says, no, what you're doing is sin and you're no good and you're going to die and you're going to hell. And no longer is the church unified. But see, we can't have one without the other. When we do, we no longer reflect the image of Christ and our witness, and the world suffers. And that's what's going on today. The world's standing back and looking at the Church of Jesus Christ and saying, you guys don't even accept one another. You don't even agree. Why do we want to become part of the church? We can get this kind of stuff somewhere else. Now, this is not riding the fence per se. What it's doing, it's balancing the two together to better focus on Jesus. It's balancing the two together to better focus on Jesus. Jesus was, is, and always will be grace and truth, and so should the church and every single Christian that walks the face of the earth today should be grace and truth. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man, blessed is the one who does not walk in the way of the wicked, but delights in the law of the Lord. So let's become legalists. No, that's not true. That's not the way to go. Paul said to the Romans, the law is good in the sense of what the law was intended to do and what it actually does. And Paul fought this battle, see. He said, the things that I don't want to do, they're the things that I keep doing, and the things that I want to do, I can't seem to do them. Wretched man that I am. According to the law, according to legalism, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? He flips the coin, and on the other side is grace. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, you see. The New Testament is not a license to break the Old Testament laws. We combine them together and we try and live by the law, knowing that Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, if we come to Him and ask for forgiveness, forgives us. See? There will be a judgment someday, a final judgment, where those that have rejected Christ will be cast off. We read about it in the Bible. But in this life, however long you live, to whatever point that you live in this life, God never said, get away from here, I don't want to have anything to do with you. God constantly, till the day you die, is desiring for you, beckons you to come to Him, to accept His Son as Lord and Savior. Because He's a God of grace and truth. Now let me talk a little bit about the law and license, grace and truth. You see, the law is really good. A lot of people don't have anything to do with the Bible because it's full of laws, and we don't want to live by those laws because now all of a sudden, you know, I'm the standard of my own. But I believe, and that's okay because we live in an age of grace, you see. And many people believe that, and they live like that. They don't want to have anything to do with laws. What the law does, if we didn't have the law, none of us would know the difference between right and wrong, would we? You see? What the law does is show us the difference between right and wrong. Now, a lot of people will say, yeah, but I don't like them because I feel condemned. The purpose of the law was not to condemn us. And for those who haven't really studied this and don't really fully understand this, that wasn't the purpose of God's law from the very beginning, to condemn human beings. The purpose of God's law, carried out now by the Holy Spirit in believers, is to convict us. You know, you do something wrong, and all of a sudden you're saying, oh man, why did I do that? That was wrong. I know that was wrong. How do you know it was wrong? Well, God's Word tells you. Something inside you there is telling you and convicting you that what you did was wrong. You say, that's my conscience. Well, okay, we can go into a lot of discussion on conscience and the Spirit and how that works. But the Bible tells us the Spirit bears witness with our spirit about the truth. You see, and we say, let our conscience be our guide. Well, I'd rather say let our spirits be our guide, because the Holy Spirit is working in us and convicts us when we sin against God. So we sin. We know we sin. Oh man, I did it. I sinned against God. I did this thing that's detestable. How do I know it's detestable? Because the law, legalism, tells me it's detestable to God and tells me that I sinned and tells me I should die. Wow, I should die. But wait. Grace says that God loves me and will forgive me if I repent of my sin, confess it, turn to God, and ask for forgiveness. That's grace and truth working together today in our society. See, condemnation versus conviction. The Holy Spirit uses the law to convict us and show us what you did was not right. This is what's right, and that we need to confess our sin. And God is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me give you some examples. The woman that was brought to Jesus that was caught in adultery. She was caught in adultery. The penalty in the law was stoning to death. You see, Jesus had been locking horns with the Pharisees. And the thing that really upset the Pharisees was Jesus' translation of the law. See? And the Pharisees said, she deserves to be stoned. Give her what she deserves. What do you think, Jesus? Jesus, full of grace and truth, kneels down, writes something in the dust of the earth. And he said, let the first one of you that's without sin cast the first stone. Truth. He knelt back down. When he looked up, everybody was gone. Say, grace and truth. And he looked at the woman and he said, where are your accusers? She said, well, they're all gone. And Jesus, in his own way, forgave her. But he said to her, go and sin no more. See the grace and truth working together in Jesus? He acknowledged she was a sinner, but he forgave her. And he said, go and sin no more. Here was the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well that Jesus met at the well. She had had all these husbands, and the guy that she was with wasn't even her husband now. Jesus knew that. See? But what did he do? He forgave her, and he acknowledged her and identified himself to her. That was completely out of the law. That was completely illegal in the Jewish culture because, first of all, she was a woman. Second of all, she was a Samaritan, which were considered dogs to the Jews. Jesus shouldn't have even been around her. In fact, the fact that he was would have defiled him. Completely illegal. But what did Jesus do? He exercised grace and truth. The man that was born blind from birth.
came to Jesus and said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus said, "No, come on, you guys. None of them sinned. He was born this way that you might see the power of God working." And he healed the man that was born blind. Well, in that culture, it was believed if you had something like this, it was because of a sin. Jesus exercised grace and truth. He healed the lame. He spoke to the Pharisees. He didn't agree with the Pharisees. But yet he didn't say, "Get out of here. Get out of here. You guys are worthless." What did he do? He ate with them, didn't he? He loved them. He showed them respect, even though he didn't agree with them. Grace and truth. He did not let them sway his true understanding of God, his word, his gospel. But yet, he exercised grace in treating them like human beings. And lastly, what about on the cross? Jesus hung on the cross, dying a horrible death, a painful death, as he hung there. And what did he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The truth was they were ignorant. The truth was they were barbarians, the way they were treating the Savior of the world. But the grace was, "Father, forgive them." And what about us? We've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We believe that He forgives us. But yet we continue to sin, don't we? So what about us? What about us? Legalism says that we should all die. License or grace says that we can live by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And if He exercises grace and truth toward us, shouldn't we exercise grace and truth towards the rest of the world? We're so quick to be legalists. "You sinned. You did something wrong against me. Get out of here. I can't forgive you. Or maybe I forgive you, but I'll never forget." Where is grace in the life of the church today? And where is truth? The truth is in God's Word. The truth is we're all sinners, falling short of the grace of God. But the grace is, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, are we walking around as a condemned church? Or are we truly taking the conviction through the laws of God seriously and turning as the church in the 21st century to be the best church and the best Christians that we can be through grace and truth? And this is our purpose as the church, to introduce Jesus to others and to point them to Jesus so that they might become His disciples too. Because when we do, we become the true church, the best church that we can be, and the best Christians that we can be. We're not standing around wishy-washy saying, "Sure, whatever goes, goes. Okay, it's all good. We live in an age of grace. God forgives us also. Let's just go out and do everything and anything that feels good." After all, society says that's okay, right? That's not the true church. The true church says, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The law says that we shouldn't. Therefore, I won't, nor will the true church. But yet, in the way Christ forgave me and others, we're going to forgive those around us until they get to where we are." I just heard the other day on the radio a great source of evangelism that I'm actually going to practice in my own personal life now. You ever wonder how to go up to somebody and introduce them to Jesus or tell them about Jesus? You have all these kind of ways to go up. And I heard of the story of a man I was in Ohio, I heard the story of a man who would stand on the street corner with his Bible, and he would walk up to somebody, and he would shout in their face, and he would say, Jesus loves you, and if you don't accept him, you're going to hell. That's a terrible way to approach the world today. That's legalism. A lot of people stand around legalistic, saying that if you don't live this way, if you don't do certain things, if you don't accept certain things, you're not a Christian, and you're going to hell. You know, I heard, like I said, I heard this really good way to approach people. To save people, you know, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your hope and life and death and your Lord and Savior? Or are you still on the way? Because you see what that does, it changes the whole message. Have you yet, or are you still on the way? Because then they feel more open and not condemned to say, no, I haven't. And if they haven't, they'll probably say, I'm still on the way. And then we can say, how far along are you? And it gives us that wonderful start point to say, let me share with you about Jesus, whom I've come to know. Because that's grace and truth in action. That's the true church today, exercising grace and truth, love, not judgment, standing on the truth of God's word, which sometimes convicts us, but again tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Grace. Lord our God, in our world today, it seems like we are